Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around St. Albans and from further afield. Now, if your road is anything like ours, it's a sad graveyard of discarded Christmas trees, weeping needles all over the place. And I'm amazed at how some of those trees, well, they still seem to be sitting there months later. But recycling your Christmas tree, it really couldn't be easier. I mean, easiest, obviously, just stuff it into your green bin. You might need to chop a few branches off, but, you know, there's no compulsion to do more than that. Just stuff it straight in, it'll be taken away for composting. Or you can take your Christmas tree to Aylett's Nurseries before the 21st of January and they'll recycle it there. An area's been set aside at the top of the car park to make disposal easy for you. Or alternatively, for a small charge, they'll collect your Christmas tree for you. And if you want to do that, you can contact the nursery on 01727 82255 or take a look on their website. Also, I'm afraid recycling-wise, it looks like the Christmas card collection that some shops and supermarkets used to do aren't going ahead this year. But even so, you can still take your Christmas cards along with your Christmas tree along to Aylett's Recycling, or just put them into your curbside recycling paper and cardboard box. And whichever you do, do rip off anything with heaps of glitter on it or with things like bows stuck on. Now, coming up later, we'll be talking about potholes. But first, if you're one of the hundreds of people around St. Albans that has been putting their New Year's resolutions into action by getting out into the fresh air to do some running or walking or cycling, and it's really good to see you all out there. I saw you when I was out on Sunday. You'll be hoping that the air that you're breathing while you exercise isn't polluted. Polluted air contributes to respiratory problems, heart and circulatory diseases, allergies, changes associated with dementia, all sorts of horrible things. Not what you want at any time, but particularly if you're hoping that your New Year exercise is going to improve rather than threaten your health. Well, local councillor Simon Grover is trying to work with Govia Thameslink to encourage drivers to switch off their engines to improve the air quality situation at one of the district's air pollution hotspots. That's the city station. Councillor Simon Grover joined me on the telephone to say what he's been trying to do. Simon, thank you for joining me. Now, there are plenty of polluted hotspots around the district. Why did you choose the station to target in particular?
Well, I was aware, as well as the fact that there are lots of taxis and buses there, which do tend to put out a lot of pollution when they're idling, that actually there's people living very close to the station. Along the back of Station Way, there are low-level flats, which actually their back kitchen gardens, the back doors open directly almost out onto Station Way, and it's really unpleasant for people who live there. So that was an additional factor to the pollution that was already there. So I was keen to try and do something in that area.
Okay. Now, given that the station has a taxi rank and it's got a sort of like a bus station bit and cars visiting to pick up people who are arriving by train, it looks like you've got your work cut out here. What can you do to reduce the pollution from all of those vehicles?
Well, the sort of upside of buses and taxis is that there are people that you can speak to get through. So, for example, you know, you can speak to the bus companies and they obviously have a direct line to their bus drivers. And by and large, bus drivers will generally do what they're told by their employers if they're told to do things. So it's really a matter of just reminding and asking again for the bus companies to spread that information down to their drivers. And again, with the taxi drivers, you know, it's the same drivers coming back, obviously, day after today. So once you've spoken to them, you know, they'll hopefully get the message, and people do need reminding about it. But it's a question of just keeping talking to people and reminding them that this is a serious health issue.
All right. OK, then. And specifically, what are they being asked to do here?
Well, the bus drivers who are both sort of parking up in the bus stop area, but also in the long lay-by that goes along the side of Station Way, they're being asked that when they are parked up there for more than a minute or so to turn off their engines. Taxis, similarly, you know, when there are people coming out of the trains, of course, the taxis are moving around the taxi circle quite speedily. So no one's suggesting they're constantly turning their engines on and off. But foot transport, when pedestrian traffic is low, and you can get 20 or 30 taxis around there, and if they're all turning their engines on and idling, that can make quite a difference to people walking past. So it's just a question of asking them that when they are parked up there, or effectively parked up there for a while to turn their engines off, which would save some fuel and reduces pollution.
Right, OK. Now, will there be any on-the-ground enforcement for this, or is this just something that we're kind of just asking nicely?
Yeah, well, the station area is a bit unusual because all the road around there and all the area around there is owned by the station companies. So it's up to them to do what they want to do there. I don't know that they're going to enforce it, but they do have people who are employed by Thames Link who, you know, sort of community liaison people who do this sort of thing, who will talk to bus companies and have already done so, and will talk to taxi drivers. So they do have people who are having those conversations, and that's much more a question about conversations rather than enforcement, because actually 99% of people, if you just say politely to them, would you mind turning off your engine while you're idle, while you're sitting here, they will do so. Actually, it's enforcement is not really the main issue here.
Right. Okay. And just to clarify, is it better to switch off your engine if you're only stopped for a short amount of time? There is an argument that perhaps switching your engine on and off can cause a lot of pollution.
Yeah, it really is better. That argument about switching on and off, taking up lots of fuel and so on, is decades old. So it used to be true. It used to be very true with the old design of cars. But today, unless you're driving around some old jalopy from the 1950s, basically your engine takes very little fuel to turn on and off these days. And actually, most vehicles, the figures that I've seen, the most accurate ones that I've seen that seem to be well accepted, are anything over 10 seconds of idling. If you're looking at that of being stationary for 10 seconds or more, then turn off. The advice generally from councils and so on tends to be 60 seconds a minute. It's a clear, easy amount. So if you're at the Holywell Hill traffic light, something like that, you're going to be still for at least a minute. So it's well worth switching off in that situation. And certainly if you're parked up waiting for somebody to arrive at the station or somewhere else, and you're going to be there for 1, 2, 3 minutes or so on, absolutely, definitely, you'll save fuel by turning off.
Right, OK. So we can help by switching off the engine if we're in our cars. How about if we're getting a taxi or a bus or something like that? Do you think it's on for us to sort of say, oh, could you switch your engine off if we're waiting or something?
It definitely is. I know a lot of people would feel uncomfortable doing that. But on the other hand, I know that from experience that by and large you will get a positive response or at best a shrug of the shoulders. So it's certainly worth a reminder. As I say, at the station, all drivers will have heard this message before. So, you know, a polite question or, you know, do you think you could turn off your engine while you're sitting because of the pollution? You know, giving a reason because, you know, it's really quite smoky and polluted outside the back of your bus. Would that be okay? And if they say no, well, never mind. Ideally, take down the registration number and give the bus company a ring and let them know that one of their drivers is not playing ball. But yeah, absolutely. If you're polite and quick and give a good reason, I don't see why there's any problem at all if you're feeling brave.
Okay, that's great advice. Simon, thank you very much indeed for joining me.
Pleasure.
Well, there we go then. Plenty that we can do to help reduce local air pollution. And I would say that I too have had only positive reactions when I've asked drivers to switch off their engines. Now, potholes. Everybody hates them. They wreck cars, they cause cyclists to fall off, and they are a major cause of complaints to our local politicians. So it looks like there's some good news. Hertfordshire County Council has received £7.892 million from the Department for Transport's Local Highways Maintenance Fund to spend on improving our road surfaces. I spoke to Cabinet Member for Highways, Councillor Phil Bibby, to find out what this might mean. Councillor Bibby, thank you for joining me. So Hearts County Council has been given an extra £7.9 million to spend on road repairs. How does that compare with what we'd normally spend?
Well, normally we spend basically what we need to spend over the winter, because potholes are a seasonal thing and you don't exactly know what's going to happen until the weather hits you. So it's very difficult to say what we normally spend on potholes.
Will this money make a substantial difference?
It will make a substantial difference.
Right, OK. I was just going to say, I mean, Hertfordshire's roads, they do seem to get more of a hammering than most, given that it's a densely populated county and we're so close to London as well, and motorways too. Is this taken into account when money is being allocated for road repairs? I mean, our roads do often seem a little bit worse than in other parts of the country.
You're quite right. I mean, Hertfordshire has got a very dense road network, very heavily used. Although we don't get the extremes of weather that some other parts of the country get, I mean, the weight of traffic, I think, actually affects the quality of our road structure.
Yeah. And is that taken into account when money is being allocated from central government for roads?
I don't exactly know how they actually allocated the money, to be fair.
All right, OK, we just got what we were given. OK, so are you able to say how many additional roads will benefit from the money, from the £7.9 million?
Again, I can't give you how many roads will benefit. All I can say is that we've actually got our contractors to commit additional resource to enable us to spend this money by March. Now, what we're actually doing is reacting to potholes as they appear. And luckily, we've had a very mild winter, so we don't know what the situation is going to be for the next couple of months. But at the moment, it's good. What we are doing, though, to make sure we spend this money is bringing projects forward or maintenance projects forward from next year's budget and actually doing them now. That will actually release funds for us to actually do additional work in the next financial year.
OK, quarter. That's because this money needs to be spent by March.
Correct, yes.
Right, OK then. So as far as road maintenance goes, it sounds from what you're saying that it's quite a sort of a reactive system that you have. Is there a system, because obviously there's road resurfacing as well and potholing. How do you decide which roads actually will be completely resurfaced?
It's fair to say it's both reactive and proactive. It's reactive in the case of when a pothole appears. We know about it, it's reported, we then assess whether we have to repair it immediately, if it's a health and safety risk, or if not, if it has to be got onto a planned maintenance schedule. The proactive part of it is that our roads are looked at regularly by inspectors. We take intelligence from people reporting faults, and we actually have a very, very sophisticated system in prioritising maintenance for the coming 1 or 2 years.
OK, I mean, there do seem to be some roads that could do with a little bit of work and seem to be sort of overlooked. Would you advise people who perhaps live on those roads to, you know, keep reporting things and then that would sort of move them up the list?
What I suggest people do is, if it's not an actual urgent fault, is actually make their local county councillor aware and he can make sure that we are actually planning to do some work. What I would do to give people assurance is that apart from this pothole fund of just under £8 million, we actually, last financial year, committed another £37 million additional funding, of which £5 million is being spent this financial year, £8 million in the next financial year. And what we're doing is targeting the unclassified roads.
Right.
These are the residential roads, the rural roads, which we use every day. But because they're not A roads, B roads, they don't get the treatment that the more important roads do. So what we're doing is, as you say, the roads that have been neglected, we are getting them up to scratch over the next 4 years with this additional funding.
Right. OK. Just one more thing. There seems to be a bit of dissatisfaction sometimes with the quality of repairs that are done to potholes. Sometimes it seems as though, you know, the repair is just a little bit makeshift and it seems to need doing almost instantly. It's being fixed. Any plans to improve the quality of repairs, or will that sort of system continue?
I accept that there is a impression out there that the quality of repairs is not good, but people need to understand that if a pothole is reported or we become aware of it and it is a health and safety issue, we have to do a quick repair. Now, what we did last winter is we employed 4 jet patchers in the county, and this is a slightly better technique in actually repairing these potholes. Time will tell how effective that work is, but we are monitoring that very carefully. So we are very conscious that although some repairs have to be done quickly, we're trying to do them as well as we can.
Right.
Bearing in mind that if a road is subject to a lot of potholing, then that would be on a maintenance schedule for actual longer-term maintenance.
Right. That's great. Thank you very much indeed for answering all those questions. Thank you for joining me today.
Okay.
Now, I was talking to Councillor Bibby from Herts County Council. Now, if you're feeling a little down after Christmas, there's nothing like getting out into the fresh air to do something like gardening to prepare for the spring. And the food growing cooperative Food Smiles are asking for a bit of help. They have got a new incredible edible site. That's where they grow food that everybody can enjoy. And that's in Russell Avenue, St. Albans, but they say the garden won't build or plant itself. Kits for raised beds are due to be delivered on Friday the 18th of January, and they need help to help unload them. That's the new raised beds. That's between 11 and 3 on Friday the 18th of January. And then to build and to fill the beds the next day, that's Saturday the 19th of January from 10 o'clock. That will go ahead whatever the weather. It will still need doing, and they would love any help that you can give with that. So pop that in your diary. That's Friday the 18th and Saturday the 19th of January. Now, Food Smiles are just one of the groups that have taken part in previous Sustainable St. Albans Week, which this year is being expanded into the Festival of Sustainability. And registration is now open for events for this year's Festival of Sustainability that runs from the 11th of May to the 1st of June. Now, you can listen to me talking to Catherine Ross, who's the chair of the organising committee, in a podcast on radioverulam.com/podcast, where she explains everything you need to know. Now, any local group can run an event, and the event can be anything that makes the district a little bit more sustainable. So do take a look at that. Remember, do follow me on social media. You'll get a heads up on what's coming up in the show, and always love to hear from you. Now, I'm going to be back at the same time next week. Until then, remember to recycle that Christmas tree, and thank you for listening.